Today I want to speak to you on the subject of God's authority in your life. The title of this message is Living in God's Authority. You know, there's a place that is you are destined for. It's the place, not just living in the presence of God. We've talked at times about practicing the presence of God, being in God's presence. But there's something that is more interactive than that. And it is living in God's anointing and practicing the anointing of the Lord in your life. There is a place that you've been called to where you live and move and dwell in God's anointing. So you don't have to put something on. When I was in the airplane on my way to Israel, and there I was confronted by a Jewish rabbi, and we soon got into a big debate about the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And he said, well, nobody in the world is like Moses. Nobody had such a personal and powerful dynamic relationship with God like Moses. And I said to this Jewish rabbi, I said, every person who comes into the new covenant is destined to have an encounter with God like Moses. That's the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, is that the new covenant puts the word of God in your heart. And the Spirit of God comes not just upon you at certain high points, but comes upon you and stays within you. Jesus was the first of a new generation because when he was baptized, they noticed the Spirit of God coming upon him like a dove and remaining upon him. And the Spirit of God has come to you. But many of you have not yet understood the power of the journey and the call of God that is on your life. The days are coming when you cannot turn on and turn off the purpose and power of God in your life like some switch, where you have a separate life from God at times, and then when you need to get revitalized, you kind of press into the throne room. But there is a place that you're called to where you never leave the throne room, where whether you're going to work or whether you're lying down upon your bed, you see yourself in the presence and with the anointing and the authority of God on your life. And that's what I want to talk to you about. It's a little far out for those people who aren't used to being ministers. But I feel strange when I don't feel the anointing of God on my life. I feel out of sorts. For me, it's like I am somehow disturbed or troubled when I don't feel the power of God on my life and moving through me. It might happen because of distractions. It might happen because I'm tired or I've been in such battles that there are seasons and times when I don't feel God's power and anointing. But almost always, I feel the anointing of God on my life. I don't need, per se, a worship service before I preach. I don't need to have some kind of preliminary work up before I pray for somebody or cast a demon out. There is an anointing that I experience with the authority of God on my life. And I want to say to you that you're all called to be ministers of the gospel. You're all called to walk in such a way that you feel and experience the authority of God all the time in your life. Please open your Bibles with me to the book of Mark. And in the first chapter, verse 21, I'm going to read through to verse 34. And let's take a little look at just a snapshot picture of Jesus in Capernaum and how he just walks with the anointing of God always upon him. So Mark chapter 1 and verse 21 says, they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority. Say authority. Authority. Not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." And the evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching? And with authority." Say authority.
Authority.
"He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they took Jesus and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. And the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. And that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the riches of your grace and kindness, for your outstretched hand to us, and for your power and love toward us. Today, we welcome all of your workings in our lives. We welcome an increased anointing of the Holy Spirit. We welcome the authority of God in us and moving through us. And we receive your blessing now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. This is a wonderful story about Jesus when he returns to Capernaum. When you come with us to Israel, we will take you to Capernaum. And there you'll see the synagogue, kind of where the parking lot is, and about where I'm standing would be the distance away from the synagogue to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house. They know that this foundation stone is exactly the stones of this house, because this house grew in size and became a church. It was probably the very first place that a church was ever established, because it was the home that after Jesus left Nazareth, he moved to Capernaum and he lived there in that home. So if Jesus had a home where he lived in your town, and 75% of all of his miracles took place within 5 miles of that home, then you would surely say, that's the perfect place for us to hold church. And so it turned out that way, that we can see the synagogue, the remains of it, and the remains of this house. And we see just in this short space so many miracles that take place. Jesus just has the authority of God on his life all the time. He didn't have somebody walking behind him with a guitar for good atmosphere and for some kind of ambiance. He just moved in the power and purpose of the Lord. I know that there are many things that can help us. When you come to a meeting like this, some of you are coming to get your batteries charged. Some of you are wanting to get together with God's people and praise Him and worship Him so that you will feel His presence and see His power in your life. But I say to you that you should walk daily in this place. If you're talking with the Lord, if you're walking with Him, if you have an expectation of an anointing on your life, then you can walk in the anointing all the time. So that you can be, as the Apostle Paul said to Timothy, be instant in season and out of season. Be ready at all times to preach, to encourage, and to rebuke if necessary with all authority. So I'm not just talking to you today about feeling the presence of God. I'm talking about you demonstrating the authority of God. That is your journey. In fact, I say to you that your journey is not complete until you are living in that place where the authority and call of God is continually with you. When you know that happens, you will be in all kinds of battles. My heart goes out to all of you who are members of Antioch Church. I don't feel sorry for you, but I know there will be a higher call and expectation on your life if you're part of this congregation. Many of you are stepping out into new places of ministry. And as some of you have stepped out into ministry, you've been attacked terribly. I was attacked terribly when I first stepped out into the ministry, because it wasn't ministry that was ordained by man. It wasn't just a call that I had from a Bible school or even a church designation. It was a call of God on my life. And when I stepped out into the ministry with the call of God on my life, all hell broke loose against me. And as I've watched many of you over this last season, I've seen some of you step up to the plate with new ministry, with a heart to serve Him. And I'm so proud of you for doing it. But I watched as some of you have been beat up real bad. Some of you have been attacked by the enemy, because if the enemy can stop you from the call of God and from the purposes of God on your life, then he has achieved his objective. But I say to you that you have to step forward and say, Lord, even if it kills me, I will serve you. Now you keep pressing on, and yes, you will suffer a little bit, but it will pass. And when the devil sees that you are not an easy mark, then he will back off. You say, why does it have to be this way? Why does it have to be that there are troubles? Because in the trouble, you're going to learn something. You're going to learn to be strong in the Lord and to stand, having done all to stand in the day of trouble. So perhaps I didn't warn you well enough that when you step out into the ministry, you're stepping on ground that previously was the devil's territory. And he gets mad. And when the devil gets mad, you should get indignant. You should be more bold than him. You should be more indignant than him. Now, you might get the rug pulled out from under your feet and feel like you have no strength and cannot continue. And then you say, Lord, I need your strength. I can't do this by myself. And it's at that time when the wind of the Holy Spirit will come, and he will lift you up, and he will heal you, and He will strengthen you, and He will restore you. And when you've gone through that time, you'll come up out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit and be more contentious against the devil than ever before. Be more powerful and more anointed. I have gone through several of these terrifying experiences in my life. And I can tell you that whoever I have become today is not because of all the easy things that I suffered, but it's because of the difficult times. And I have nowhere else to go or nothing else in my life worth doing than to serve the Lord God with everything I am. And so Jesus not only walked in this authority, but if we go to the book of Luke, chapter 9 and verse 1, we read there, when Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power, say power, and authority, say authority, to drive out demons and to cure diseases. I want you to notice that you cure diseases and you drive out demons. Have you ever seen, keep your finger here, we're not finished, but have you ever seen a cowboy or a group of cowboys driving the cattle? The cattle, there's a huge herd of them and they don't want to move. And a cowboy comes behind them on his horse and he cracks his whip. And then the cows start moving, and before long, all of them, he's driving them. He's a driver. And when you come against demon spirits, you drive them out. You take authority over them. You don't whisper nicely to them. You don't try in some way to get them to cooperate with you. You take authority over them, and you drive them out. You cure those who are diseased, and you drive out demons. This is an easy thing. Once the anointing of the Lord is on your life, it's not difficult. You don't have to hyperventilate. You don't have to work something up. You just have to walk in the presence of the Lord. Most of the time, I feel the electricity of heaven in my hands. I want to pray for somebody. I want to release the power of God. I'm looking to cast out a demon. I want to see cancer healed. That's what I'm here for. And I am most fulfilled when I'm doing what God has called me to do. But what about you? When Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases. And He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. So now we see the disciples are doing what Jesus was doing. And they went from town to town, healing people everywhere. If we read through the scriptures, we see many scriptures that show us of the disciples moving in the power and authority of God. I like the story of Peter and John, who were going up to the temple to pray. They said, come on, let's go up to the temple at the hour of prayer. There were actually three times in the Jewish day when they were called to prayer. And at that time, many people would come outside of the temple, and they would gather at the hour of prayer. Sometimes a priest would lead them in that, and they would call upon the Lord. Well, at the hour of prayer, good Jews as they were, Peter and John went up to pray. And on the way, they met a beggar. And the beggar put his hand out and said, please give me some money. give me some food. And it is part of the gospel to give your alms to the poor. In fact, the scripture says when you fast, in Matthew chapter 6, when you fast, don't make a big demonstration about it. Do it secretly. And says when you pray, go into your closet and pray secretly. And he says, and when you give to the poor, your alms to the poor, do it not to be seen by men. So it's part of the gospel to give something to beggars. And these two men, I can just see them having a good talk. Wasn't that interesting last night when we were over at Sister Miriam's house and we had that time of prayer and how the Holy Spirit met us? You know, I think that young lady who came in at the end, she really gave her heart to the Lord. Did you see her weeping? They're just talking about something that happened, and all of a sudden the beggar says, alms, can you give me some alms? Beggars never come at a convenient moment. They interrupt you on your journey. And these two men of God, they didn't have any cash with them. And it was a good thing. Because they looked at the man, and the anointing and the authority of God was on them. They walked in it. And they said, we don't have any silver and gold, but what we've got, we're going to give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man stood to his feet. An atrophied muscle came into strength. And fragile bone put on solidity. And the man started leaping and praising God. There was an anointing that stayed upon them. Now I want you to think about your life for a moment. What is your normal day like? Some of you go off to the executive office. Others are doing work around the house and doing all the domestic chores with children and shopping and cleaning and fixing and organizing families. Each of you has a different designation of what you're going to do in a day. But can you see yourself sweeping and having the authority of God in your hands and on the broomstick? Can you see the authority of God on your life when you're taking out the garbage? Can you see the authority of God when you're going shopping? If you will walk with the Lord in such a way and have such a high expectation of His anointing on your life, you have to walk in His presence, but you have to have faith and expectancy that at any moment now, the Lord may call upon you to be an ambassador of heaven. And at that time, it's not as if you've got to say, well, let's organize something. You move under the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit, and you take a risk. You cure, you heal, and you drive out demons. Now let me tell you a little bit about your journey. Because some of you are still wondering whether or not you should really be Christians. Some of you are still wondering whether or not you should really be an active Christian. Some of you are wondering whether you can be a powerful Christian. But that is the call of God on your life. Your life, you think, is your own, but it's not. You've been bought with a price. And as long as you want to just run your life your way, you will miss the high call of God that is in Christ Jesus for you. But if you say, Lord, I surrender everything to you. You don't have to quit your job. You don't have to change your domestic family scene. But in your heart, you give everything to the Lord. You train yourself. You go down the path of life that God has called you to take at this time, but your life belongs to Him. And then you're on this journey. Where do you want to get on your life journey? You want to get to the place where the power and authority of God is always in you and ready to move out of you to bless somebody. Now, wouldn't it be really nice if you could be like Jesus? Just imagine for a minute if it was you that they were talking about. When you went to Capernaum and stood up in the synagogue and started to teach with such authority that the people had never heard anything like it before, and they wanted to hear every word that you said. And while you were teaching, a demon-possessed, a tormented, demonized man started screaming out and calling and rebuking you. I've been in some meetings where I've seen demon-possessed people call out and hackle the preacher. And I've seen some preachers not know what to do because they're not used to demons. But I've had it happen to me. And I have no problem with it at all. It just means an interruption from the sermon. But then I will go down and deal with that demon spirit on the spot. And if there is a person behind where that demon is coming forth that doesn't want to be delivered, then we just deliver them from the building. But if somebody wants the Lord but has demonic problems, that's the last day those demons are going to be in that person. I remember on one occasion when we were just really young, I think I was 19, and leading this small church that we had just started. I might have been 20. And we had all young people. I was one of the oldest people in the church. And they ranged between 19 and 25. And everyone had long hair, including myself, and lots of patches on their jeans. And everybody had a guitar. And I remember us worshiping the Lord one day. This was before our children were born. And I was getting ready to preach, and all of a sudden, this girl who had just come for the first time, newly married, started screaming out in the meeting. She said, "They're drinking her blood," screaming it in the top of the meeting. This was not politically correct. It was not a seeker-friendly church all of a sudden. We had about 75 young people. We were just within the first 6 months of this church plant. And I went over to her and started to rebuke this spirit. But she didn't respond, and she went into this trance. So I told the elders to take her in the back room, and I told the hippies to keep on worshiping. And I went into the room, and the husband said, "She does this. I don't know what it is, but in the middle of the night, she sits up. She's in a total trance. And she says, 'They're drinking her blood. They're drinking her blood.' And you can't talk with her or get through to her." And I said, "Myself and the elders, who are all around 20 years of age, we'll come into your house tomorrow night." And we went. And we gathered around, and she was in her right mind and a very sweet lady, the daughter of a Pentecostal preacher, and been saved since she was a little child. And they told us what had happened. She said she had no recollection of any of this. But he said, every once a month or so, she sits up in bed and says, "They're drinking her blood," and she's in a trance. For half an hour, she carries on and then goes back to sleep. We're at her house now. We start to come against the spirit of witchcraft and all kinds of things. Nothing is happening. She's just sitting there. Finally, I said, come on, we need to pray. We need God to show us. And we got down on our knees. She still stayed on the chair, but the rest of us got on our knees and we started to pray. We said, God, will you show us what we need to do right now? And all of a sudden, this lady starts to cry. She starts to sob with a belly kind of deep sobbing that she cannot stop. She's sobbing, 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 sobbing. She can't even talk. Finally, she says, I remember. I remember. She said, I remember when I was 12 years of age. We lived in the suburbs of Chicago. And she said, I went with my girlfriend for a weekend vacation with her parents. And they took us into the forest, 100 miles outside of the city, to a witch's coven. She said, there, a priest of some sort came and touched me on the head and spoke words over me and said I would not remember any of these things. But there was a human sacrifice that took place. And they drank the blood of the human sacrifice. She said, I never remembered any of this until right now. And I laid my hands on her and I broke the power of ritualistic satanic worship. I broke its power in the name of Jesus. And she started to weep and all this stuff came out of her. And Jesus healed her heart. And we drove a demon of witchcraft out of her that day. Don't tell me it's not real in the United States of America. I have firsthand information. She was healed completely. From that day on, she never had a problem with any witchcraft demons. Jesus did it all the time. So do you know your journey? Have you settled it yet? Or are you still kind of on the edges? It's time to come all the way into the house of the Lord. Amen. And to give your life to Him. Because you don't know what tomorrow holds or what evil will rise in this United States of America. Because demons are more and more emboldened. Because we have a direction that is not godly in this United States of America. And we're moving more and more in the direction of sin, and it's not just in the world, it's in the church too. And when demons get emboldened, they go after your children. They go after your grandchildren. But it's time for you to become whom God has made you to be. It's time for you to rise up with the authority of the Lord. Some of you will be in a training time, even a time of difficulty. But hold on to the Lord and press on with all of your strength. And wake in the night when He calls you and listen with bigger ears. And let the Holy Spirit be your teacher. And watch what He will do. For in this church, at this time, God is raising up some extraordinary ministers of the gospel. It is a people called to walk in the authority of the Lord. So some of you need to move from unbelief to belief. And others need to move from believing to becoming disciples. But being a disciple is not the end of the journey. For some of you who are disciples, and most of you are, need to move into a place of partnership to become ambassadors and ministers of the gospel, and not just disciples. It's time that some of you said, all right, I know I'm called to be a disciple and I'll always be a disciple, but I'm stepping up to a new place now as a minister of the gospel, and I'm going to walk in the authority that's mine in Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit that's within me. That is your place. Smile. So let me tell you a few things before we close. The first thing, you must be established. The Lord talks about bringing you by the gospel until you are established. Paul spoke and said, until the Lord establishes you. If you can fall away from the Lord, you are not yet established. If you are just a believer and you think being a Christian is the best way, you're not fully established. Your mom and dad want you to be established. They cry when they see you vacillating, going back and forth between the things of the world and even dabbling in darker things. They want to see you established. How do you become established? Well, you move into ambassadorship. You take ownership for yourself. You become an establishment so that you're not movable anymore. I love seeing people, especially young people, who are established in God. They are not moved or discouraged because they lose their girlfriend. They're not moved or discouraged if they lose their job. They're not discouraged if they have some huge battle in their life because they're established in the Lord. And this is their life. I wish I could have you put your hands up again, but I don't want to center out those who wouldn't put their hands up. But I want in your heart to ask you the question, are you established in the world, that in the Lord, that come hell or high water, as for you and your life, you are totally sold on being an ambassador and a co-worker with heaven until the day you die? That is your place. Well, it's mine. So if you want to know the journey of God for your life, the first thing is you must be established. And just because you're puddling around in the puddles of Christianity does not mean you're established, because you haven't faced enough troubles yet. But when troubles come, if you're not established, they will do everything to take you away from the call of God and the purpose of God on your life. So whatever you do, be established in the Lord. And secondly, come under authority. Even if you're established, you cannot afford to be a lone ranger anymore. That's just pride. You've got to be connected with a family of God that is prophetic, that is anointed, that will help equip you, and that you can help minister to as well. In fact, you can read about it in Luke chapter 7. Here was, in verse 6 to 10, Luke 7, here was a man who had a servant that was sick. And he went to the Lord in Capernaum. He didn't even go himself. He sent his servant. He says, I'm not worthy to come to you, but speak the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to that one, come, and he comes. And Jesus said, I've never seen so much faith, not in all of Israel. And because of this man's faith, he recognized that Jesus was under the authority of the Father. And because he was under that authority, he had authority. That's the reason why we ordain you, or we call you to be an associated worker. Because there is an anointing flow that you can get from those whom God has given the oversight in this church, including myself, that can go inside of you and move through you. And it becomes a descending chain of authority. So you have this in your life. Those of you who are coming with us to Haiti and who will participate with us in the praying for people at the Crusades, you're going to find an authority that you never had before, because you're going to be under our authority. And the anointing that God has given to us will come also on you and move through you. So the first thing is become established. Secondly, come under authority. Thirdly, if you want to live in the authority of God all the time, you have to practice the presence of God. I don't get out of my bed before I talk to God in the morning. Say, thank you for a good sleep. And I talk to him about my dreams and I pray for people. When I lie upon my bed at night, the last words that come out of my mouth are, thank you, Lord. Watch over me as I sleep and train me and speak to me. All day long, I'm whispering words to the Lord and I'm listening to what he has to say to me. And I mentioned earlier that if I'm in a place because of distraction or because of weariness, that I am somehow feel disconnected with God, I'm out of sorts. I am not myself. I feel uncomfortable when I don't feel the presence of God. So practice the presence of God. Fourth, begin to understand the call to be instant as a minister. To preach, now you don't have to get up here to preach, just to share the word of God with one another or with your neighbors, to pray and to prophesy. It's time some of you took more risks. Take more risks. Listen to the Lord and follow through. You cannot grow unless you start to let it flow. And then, number five, heal the sick and drive out demons. If you think it's a demon, it probably is. If you're talking to somebody about the things of the Lord and they start twitching all over the place, it's a demonic manifestation most of the time. And you need to drive it out, break the curse, get them to repent and drive it out. Now, if they're not cooperating because they don't want to give their life to God, just realize you're watching a demon at work and continue to preach the gospel of love to them. And lastly, live in such a way that you know you are an ambassador of heaven and you're on 24-hour-a-day call. And the authority of God is in you. So, become established so that you take ownership. Secondly, come under authority and don't be a lone ranger. Thirdly, practice the presence of God. Fourth, preach, pray, and prophesy lots. Number five, heal the sick and drive out demons. And number six, live in God's authority and expectation of it all the time. Now, what I've done today, I've thrown a seed out to you. If you take this, it will revolutionize your life. I'm calling you to step out on a tightrope now, like the tightrope that goes across the Niagara River or the Grand Canyon. And you see this tightrope walker walking one step at a time. It's kind of like that when you walk with God. But that's what you're made for. That's who you are. If you live like that in the presence of God and with his authority, you will really like yourself. You might not like yourself now, but you'll really like yourself if the presence and power of God is in you. You'll love to be alive. Your life will count for something so powerful. If we don't build a church of ministers, we failed. This should not be a church of just takers, but a church of givers who are called to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This year I'll be 60, the last day of the year, New Year's Eve. I don't know how many more I've got. Maybe 20? I don't know. But it's not enough for me. Even if I had another 60. Because I've got too much work to do. But you understand, it's not my place to be politically correct. It's my place to bless you till you become the best of God's people, the best soldiers, the most compassionate, the most on fire for God, the most equipped and anointed. There's not one of you here that needs miss the mark. You can hit it. I want to pray for you now. Would you stand? Hold your hands out in front of you, please. I want to pray for the anointing of God to rest upon you. For the Holy Spirit to teach you to be such a powerful minister of the gospel. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we welcome your power on your people. We welcome the opening of the heavens over this place. Lord, we're called to greater things, and we do not want to miss the mark. So, Father, we open ourselves to you now. We say, come, Holy Spirit. Come not just as comforter, but come as teacher and equipper. Lord, we open ourselves to you now for the presence of God to fill us. And the authority of God, the authority of God, the authority of God to move through us. So that we might be powerful in your namesake. And I speak the blessing of the Lord over each of you. Those of you who have fought a battle and have stepped forth in the ministry and you've come under attack, I stand with you this day. And I break every power of darkness that is assigned against you. I break its hold off you. I release healing into you now, and clarity of thought, and restoration, and the refreshing of the Holy Spirit, so that you might be all that God's called you to be, and you might be the ministers of the gospel that you've been called to be. I release you to your assignments, and I speak the anointing of the Holy Spirit for signs and wonders in your life, for cures and healings. Words of wisdom, gifts of the Holy Spirit to flow through you. And for the driving out of demons, for the power of God to move through you, for you to live in the anointing of God, to wake with that authority and to sleep with that authority, that you might be everything that God has destined and formed you for. I speak it over you now. In Jesus' name.